Hello, and a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and the subject that we are taking up today is called self-reliance. In this series, we ask you, the viewer, to look at things like, what is the core of spirituality? Is there any spirituality in your life in any way whatsoever? Do you enjoy any form of relationship with God, be it just a tenuous one, or a deep and real one? We also ask you to look at whether there's a balance between your inner and outer world. We also look at subjects that seem to create a balance between philosophical as well as spiritual integrity. Sister Denise, who is our speaker for today, has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 4 decades, and she brings with her to the studio a vast amount of experience in the subject of spirituality, which we are fortunate to be able to tap in. So, Sister Denise, a very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Self-reliance, how does this differ from independence, if at all?
Well, self-reliance literally is that you're able to rely on yourself. You're not looking outside. Independence is very similar in that you are not depending on someone to, or some force to look after you. But there is a difference. Independence has that connotation of you don't want to listen to anybody. Self-reliance is much more concerned with, what do I need to do, to have, to arrange so that my life operates the way I need it to. So there is a difference, yeah.
Mm. Mr. Denise, we as human beings love our dependencies, whether they are those that harm us or even those that don't. We are dependent on the people we love. We're dependent on our pets for company because they bring us so much of joy. We are dependent on the television set for entertainment when we return from work in the evenings, or even if you are a housewife. So how does the subject of self-reliance come into that picture?
Well, I think when you're talking about dependencies, we would also talk about it as attachments. And so a dependency or an attachment in that case would be almost synonymous. And if you are needy, it's not so good for your dignity, because you have been endowed with the capacity to look after yourself. And if you're not using that, then that's a kind of a sin of omission. And so that becomes a negative karma, and it will weaken you, and you will find yourself in trouble if you do not learn how to take care of yourself. And there is an expression which I like very much: God takes care of those who take care of themselves. And that you're not just expecting God to do what you're supposed to do for you, or anyone else for that matter. So self-reliance is something that is very good for a person's dignity. It's a sign of somebody who has leadership qualities, who is able to be a role model for others, a very useful person and a resourceful person.
Mm. Mr. Denise, we love to delegate the aspect of looking after ourselves to someone else because it feels good, whether you can do it for yourself or not, irrespective of how intelligent you are or not. The feeling of being taken care of, adult or child, is very deep within us, isn't it? You come home to a cooked meal. It's better than coming home and having to cook yourself a meal. There's a feel-good factor to it. There's a feeling of belonging that's attached to it, which is a very elemental human feeling. How does that fit into this picture? And why is it necessary to choose self-reliance over that?
I don't think you really do choose self-reliance over that. People live in community, in families, in groups. Some people live on their own. They have to be much more self-reliant. But of course, as you say, we like it when things are done for us and so on. But that also comes with a price. You know, if somebody's doing something for me, then what am I doing to reciprocate? So this whole subject of reciprocity is extremely important, because if I receive something from someone, that means I am putting myself in debt to them. And so I need to equalize the account. So I have to do something, it may not be the same thing, but something equivalent, so that the account is equalized. And so in relationships, in couples, in families, and so on, it's a matter of sharing out the tasks. And some people are more capable of some tasks and not so good in other tasks. And so you work it out so that the balance of the energy that people are putting into the collective life is equitable. And that may need to be renegotiated from time to time because situations change. But the more you make yourself competent and capable of doing all the things possible, the less you have to depend on other people, and the better off you are in that sense. But then there's an obverse. And there are some people who are what we call controlling, and they become able to do everything. They don't let other people participate. And that is itself another kind of unhealthy form of it. So there has to be a balance. You're self-reliant. You know how to do everything as much as possible, but you work with others, because when you do that, you actually give people an opportunity to contribute to your life, to interact with you, to create that harmony that is so much an important part of human community.
Mr. Denise, I'm wondering, if one is totally self-reliant, is there a danger of becoming isolated? You know, the adage, no man is an island, or woman for that matter?
It'd be pretty difficult to be absolutely good at absolutely everything, because people are different. And the other thing is that you want to be in community. Because it is in the nature of human beings to come together in couples, in families, in groups. If a person is completely isolated, it's really bad for them psychologically, or they need to be really strong. You find also even among monastics, they will group together. There are very, very few people who are totally on their own, and they have problems with social skills.
Okay. On previous episodes, you told us about the multifaceted way a human being functions. There's the mind, there's the intellect, there's the personality traits, there's the heart. What does it mean to look after oneself on all of those levels?
It's about sort of dividing up. You can have like a circle referring to time, or a circle referring to your life, and making a sort of a pie chart out of it. Because a person does well when a number of things are in balance. And if you're really focused on one thing and everything else is disregarded, you become a very unbalanced person and quite impossible to live with. And I mean, this is one of the things that happens to people who are genius or virtuoso musicians or whatever. They're really good at that thing and really bad at everything else. And that is a liability, really, for the person themselves. I mean, in a way, the world wants excellence, and so it will provide for people who are really, really excellent. But then it's because that person who has that capacity has some way in which they can actually give back enough so that the things that they're really short on do come into balance. But it's a very tricky situation. It's much better if a person understands, okay, I'm quite talented in this area, that area, and the other area, but there are areas where I'm not so good, I need to make up the shortfall in order to give importance to balance, you know.
Hmm.
That okay. is better.
You mentioned God earlier. How does he support a self-reliant human being?
Well, there is this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And so I sometimes think of God as an assessor who is watching his child, his student, and seeing, okay, are you making yourself competent and capable in a multitude of areas so that what you're making of yourself is something really special? Because there are also some phrases where they say, you know, you come into this life with a deck of cards, and what you do with it, what you make out of your life, is really what distinguishes you as a great person or somebody who just messed up totally. And there you have plenty of choice.
Hmm. Is it Denise? In the journey of self-reliance, one has to face oneself. And what comes to mind is one's inner demons. I mean, we all have our dark side that plagues us from time to time. Some people have fears. Some people have insecurities. Some people have completely oblivious of what they are able to offer the world. How do you balance that, and how do you face yourself? How do you deal with your own dark side? Do you do it yourself? Do you take help?
I think that your relationship with God is such that God will provide you with skills, weapons, competencies, virtues, all sorts of equipment, if you will, internal equipment, but then you have to make yourself competent in the use of these so that your demons are manageable. And I think that God will be very pleased with somebody who knows how to manage their demons. It doesn't matter if there are demons, if you can manage them. But if you get overtaken by them, then it would be said that you're not competent or you haven't used the weapons that you were provided with.
Hmm. So Denise, you know, what comes to mind right now is somebody I knew who was very, very good at her job, which required a fair amount of intellectual prowess, but she was not emotionally stable. So there were months on end where she was not at work due to psychiatric problems. And I actually wondered how does one deal with that situation where you're academically equipped to do the job, and she was brilliant at what she did, highly respected in her field, but emotionally couldn't cope with the backlash because the job in question had a very heavy emotional content to it and negative backlash to it. So she was not able to cope with that. How do you use your own power as an individual to face a situation like that? And we're talking about someone's career. It's not just a question of having to give it up and go find something else. It's not as simple as that.
No, one thing that happens to many children is the messages that they receive is that you're only good if you are academically excellent. And so that message is given very often in a very abusive way. And so that child will handle a dysfunctional family situation or domestic violence or something like that by taking refuge in academics or in computers or something where they can just, you know, cut off from that emotionally disturbed environment. And that's an ideal situation to prepare you for being really excellent academically, and you prove how good you are by you can make a lot of money, you advance in your career, but because it has been something that you have used as a coping mechanism, it turns into a real problem later on. So I would think that there could easily be a history in your friend's early life of something like that, because it's quite common. So the problem is that the way a child is raised and the way a child finds your way through a very difficult early life tends towards these kinds of imbalances. And so I think the thing that's very important is that every child receives a great deal of love, structure, attention, so on and so forth. Unfortunately, that's such an ideal, which is hardly ever a reality. And I think this is where you can bring God into the picture, because at any time in your life, when you begin to create a relationship with God, God will always interact with you in an ideal way. You may interact with God in a very far from ideal way, but because God interacts with you correctly, it will cause you to have to get right, you see. And this is, I think, a very important aspect of the love of God. So when you are not doing the right thing, God will withdraw. And you will learn pretty quickly that the only way to feel close to God is to do the right thing. And you will see where God comes close to you, you get support, God goes far from you, it's an indication that no, don't go there. You know, this coming close and withdrawing of God is quite interesting. And there's another aspect which is connected with self-reliance, is that God will sometimes withdraw from you, not because you're not doing the right thing, but because God wants to see, okay, can you handle everything by yourself? And that is also another aspect of God's love, because love is not something that makes a person dependent. A lot of people don't realize that, and they love somebody to make them dependent. But the real love, the love of God, will say, okay, I've told you what you have to do, now get on with it and let me see from a distance how you're doing. You know, and a loving parent, a loving teacher will always be there, so the person doesn't, you know, collapse and fall in great difficulties. But, you know, you don't want to make a person dependent. That is really spiritually incorrect.
Sure. Mr. Denise, that is a bomb of a statement, because there are many watching you right now who cannot define love in any other way. And it's not even viewed as a dependency. I mean, if somebody loves me, of course they'll make me a cup of tea when I come home. Okay, and if they're not there, I miss my cup of tea. Making it doesn't taste the same. So how do you teach yourself not to fall into the weakness of dependency?
Well, I think
because it's something, if I look at myself, it's something that comes very natural. If somebody continues doing something for you out of love, because it feels so good, and because it's, a symbiosis, then you think, I'm getting used to this. I like this. I want him to make me the cup of tea tomorrow as well. And then when he or she's not there, you miss it. How do you... my sense is one is to consciously stop oneself from being dependent.
Definitely.
How do you do it?
But it's also, if somebody makes me a cup of tea, I have to pay for it.
Okay.
Not financially, but, you know.
Sometimes.
Someone's doing something, I have to do something. There has to be that reciprocation, you see. And then as far as possible, we don't want to get into too much expectation. When you start doing something for someone, like that, which is not necessary. They may like it, they may get used to it. You're creating a karmic bondage there, you know, and sooner or later it becomes a bone of contention in the relationship. So I think one should avoid doing too much for people. You have to try and do the right amount. And I think your conscience, when it's very refined, will let you know when it's the right amount, not too much, not insufficient. One of the problems with conventional morality is it gives us a message that there isn't anything like too much. And that's a very incorrect message. Spirituality will say, no, you have to do the right amount, not too much, not insufficient. It has to be precise. And conventional morality doesn't have anything like precision in action.
So, Sister Denise, are you saying that somebody who's spiritually aware and spiritually empowered gravitates towards self-reliance? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. And so the sign of being spiritually weak is that you'll have your tentacles out and have too many dependencies, which will later come and bite you if the object of your affection is no longer there.
Right, or changes their mind or whatever, you know. Because people come into relationship with each other because of what they can get. And they might not like to hear this, but it is like that. Now, when you are a small child, you need to be cared for by your parents until a certain age, and life goes through different stages, and the parents need to care for you differently at different times. And the relationship is such that when the parents become old, then you have to give back by caring for them when they need that. But, you know, there are many families where the older generation is emotionally dependent on the younger generation, and the whole situation gets reversed and it becomes really unhealthy and dysfunctional. And this is why I think we need to make it clear about getting things right, getting things precise. And if a person is using a younger person to get their emotional needs taken care of, then that is emotional abuse. And there are signs of it, and that has to stop, you know. But because people in the world don't really think much about those things, it can progress very far before anything is done about it. So I think we need an education about these things.
Mr. Denise, what virtues are involved when one is self-reliance? Strength comes to mind. That's an obvious one. What else?
Courage, I think, also, because you may have to face loneliness, or you may have to face being in a situation that's unfamiliar to you. But, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and so you need to be creative, resourceful, optimistic. Some of these things are really going to help you.
Coming back to the answer that you shared earlier, what if you're self-reliant, but you have a talent for attracting people who are reliant on you, overly reliant on you because of your strength? That's one of the downsides of being independent, because you'll always get people who think, this one's got her act together, his act together, I want some of that, let me kind of latch on. How do you manage your relationships so that you don't hurt the person, but you let them know, listen, I'll do this much for you and no further? How do you maintain equilibrium in your relationships if you are self-reliant? Because, Sister Denise, the reason I'm asking you this question is because self-reliant people can be threatening to some people, or threatening not to some, to a lot of people. Because the world gravitates towards intimacy and interdependency. And, you know, you see some people, you don't know where the one ends and the other begins, because they're so intertwined. Not literally, but metaphorically.
Yeah, well, that's called enmeshment in psychology,
okay.
And that's also called attachment in spiritual vocabulary.
Okay,
but
so
you know, one of the things, one of the things you can do is ridicule people for it. Well, they don't like that.
Oh, isn't that causing sorrow?
Well, you know, you're causing much more sorrow by allowing them to glom onto you, and then eventually you have to push them away very forcefully.
So tough love, be cruel to be kind.
Tough love is very good. It's not about being cruel to be kind, but, you know, somebody may get upset that you're not doing what they want. That doesn't mean that you're giving them sorrow. You have to be clear about that.
Okay.
You know, giving sorrow is actually harming somebody. But if you're not allowing a person to rely on you and slightly rapping them on the knuckles, that's not giving sorrow, even though they may make a big fuss about it. Because you're not fulfilling their desires, but the desires they are having are impure, incorrect. You know, they want to use you. Some people who are very self-reliant, they feel flattered when somebody wants to rely on them. And that's a big danger, because you allow it, because you get something from it.
Mm.
So I think you have to have your boundaries, and you have to make sure that your boundaries are in place and people know, you know, this is what it is. Because once you don't have boundaries, then you're going to get into very dysfunctional relationships, and your karma is going to be wrong, and you will suffer and they will suffer, and the whole thing will be ordinary. And if you're spiritually aware and you're studying the laws of karma, then the proof of it is that you manage your relationships in a proper way like that.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with being very clear, this is the boundary, even though a person may be displeased that you're not going along with their wishes.
Okay. Yes, as riveting as this discussion is, we have to stop here right now. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there you go, sisters and brothers, the power of self-reliance. I don't know if you are self-reliant, but Sister Denise's words of wisdom are a very good yardstick to measure whether you are or not. And if you're anything but self-reliant, this is a very fresh way of looking at yourself, your life, and ask yourself, if the people in your life right now were to leave you, through the means that people leave each other in today's world, death, divorce, moving to another country, etc., will you be okay? Will you? Are you in harm's way because you are overly dependent on people around you, or things for that matter? What is your dependent on something like technology? So all of these questions we'd like you to consider, and the aim of it is not to threaten you in any way, but to make sure that if you're okay today, you must ensure that you're also okay tomorrow, and keep some distance, a healthy distance between yourself, other people, and things. A very deep and profound message by Sister Denise, something I hope you took a lot of benefit from. I know I did. And we would like to see you soon for more Chats by the Fireside. Take care and goodbye.